بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continuing in the third introduction of the author رحمه الله تعالى الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب we begin this evening بإذن الله تعالى with some review. The author, he says, يَعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِي. Know, may Allah direct you to His guidance, to His obedience. What does that mean, يَعْلَمْ?
You must know.
Something you must know. صح. يَعْلَمْ means here. Before you can know, you have to. You have to learn. So, إعلام, the ulama, they mentioned تعلم means to learn. To learn, to know, meaning to learn. أرشدك الله لطاعته. May Allah direct you or guide you to His guide, to His obedience. What does that mean? أرشدك الله. الرشد. الرشد أو الرشاد the person who has رشد from Allah أرشدك الله أرشدكم الله ها نعم التوفيق إلى العلم النافع والعمل الصالح the one who has رشد he is the person he is upon beneficial knowledge and righteous actions and meaning may Allah guide you May Allah guide you and give you success to do that which is good for you in this life and the hereafter. Rushd. Somebody who is upon rushd, he is upon the beneficial knowledge, upon al-iman al-sahih, and he's upon righteous actions and the application of that knowledge. Naam, wal-rushd wal-istiqama ala al-tariq, ala sirat al-mustaqim, and to be steadfast upon the straight path. Taib, what is obedience? What is ta'ah? أرشدك الله لطاعته. What is الطاعة? In English? The translation? طاعة obedience. طيب, what does that mean?
It means to submit to what Allah has commanded and to avoid these behaviors.
Ahsant. Two things, to comply and to perform the commandments and to stay away from the prohibitions. To perform the commandments and to stay away from the prohibitions. This is obedience. So actions of obedience, they occur in two manners. By performing the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is in compliance to those commandments. This is being obedient to Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Also, yarhamukallah. Also staying away from the prohibitions, this is also an act of obedience. And he's doing all of this hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing His punishment. What's the opposite of ta'ah? Huh? Disobedience. In Arabic? Ma'asiyah. What is that?
It means to abandon what Allah has commanded and to indulge.
Ahsant, to leave off something that Allah has commanded, this is called disobedience. To leave off a commandment, to leave off an obligation, or to fall short in performing it, this is considered ma'asiyah, disobedience. Likewise, to perpetrate or to commit something that Allah has prohibited, this is also ma'asiyah. Naam. And Allah, He has threatened the people who disobey Him with the fire, with the hellfire. وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ نُدَخِلْهُ نَارًا Whoever يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا that whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, they will enter him into the hellfire. He will enter him into the hellfire. So disobedience is not something light. It's not something light. It's very dangerous. Naam, so he says, يَعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ أَنَّ الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ Naam, the الحنيفية. And the الحنيفية, This is the way of Ibrahim. The ulama, they mentioned that al-hanifiyya is from the word al-hanif. Al-hanif. Al-hanafu is, it means al-mayl. Al-mayl. Al-mayl, ma la yamilu, maylan, to incline away from something. To turn away like this is called mayl. So the ulama, they mentioned that this word al-hanifiyya, which is the religion of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam, is origin of this word, this meaning is from al-hanif, which means al-mayl. But they say al-hanifiyya is al-mayl, yani to turn away from shirk. Al-mayl yani shirki qasdan ila al-tawheed, to turn away from shirk. So al-hanifiyya is the path that turns away from shirk. Wherever there is shirk and disobedience and actions that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, if they're this way, Hanafiyya is the other way. Hanafiyya is the other way. Leaning away from shirk, intentionally. Intentionally. And Hanafiyya, the ulama, they mention, it's the way of Ibrahim, and it is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, but this is a sincere devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal. Sincere devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Hanif is Al-Mayl. So the one who is considered Al-Hanif, he is the one who is leaning and turning away entirely away from shirk. Some of the ulama, they mention al-hanif, which is what Allah, what Ibrahim has been described with. Kana hanifan. Ibrahim kana hanifan. And this word here, hanif, is a describing word. Nam, a describing word. What does that mean? Somebody who's considered hanif. The ulama, they mention he is al-muqbilu al-allahi. Nam, al-muqbilu al-allahi al-mu'ridu al-ma siwa. Somebody who is completely devoted to Allah Azza wa Jal, devoted to Him and to His obedience and His remembrance, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and turning away from everything else. Turning away from everything else. Al-muqbilu ala Allahi Azza wa Jal, wa ala ta'atihi, wa ala ma yuhibbuhu Allahu Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, al-mu'ridu amma siwa. Turning away from everything else. Turning away from disobedience, turning away from anything that would lead him away from Allah Azza wa Jal, turning away from anything that would prohibit him or stop him in his path, and his path to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He's devoted to Allah entirely. This one is considered hanif. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He has commanded the Prophet Muhammad to follow Ibrahim, and He has described the way of Ibrahim as being that he was hanif. And He has commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow Ibrahim, and we are commanded to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, "Thumma," or to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He said, "Thumma awhayna ilayka an ittabi' millata Ibrahim hanifa." And then we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow the way of Ibrahim, hanifan, hanifan. Nam, to follow the way of Ibrahim, ay hanifan. Meaning that he is the one that is devoted entirely to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And he turned away from shirk entirely. And he gave preference to what Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded over what his desires has commanded, and over everything that is contrary to that. And he was devoted and dedicated to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala entirely, until Allah Azza wa Jalla has described Ibrahim alayhi salam as being an ummah. Kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifan. وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned about Ibrahim likewise, that he was an ummah, meaning that he was an imam, يُقْتَدَ بِهِ فِي الْخَيْرِ, and that he was qanit, it means that he was obedient at all times. And he is an imam, and he was obedient, alayhi salam, and he was devoted to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala with tawheed, and that was his way. And he freed himself from shirk entirely. He freed himself from shirk and from the people of shirk, and he was steadfast upon the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow. ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And we have been commanded likewise to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in reality, this is the way of all of the Anbiya. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified that, and he mentioned in a hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that is in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about Isa alayhi salam, أَنَا أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِعِيسَى بِنِ مَرْيَمْ. I am the most rightful of the people with Isa ibn Maryam. And many of those Christians, they claim to, or they ascribe to Isa alayhi salam, claiming that they follow his way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَنَا أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِعِيسَى بِنِ مَرْيَمْ. I am the most rightful to claim to have a relationship with him, or to be following upon his way. Naam, and he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَنَا أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِعِيسَى بِنِ مَرْيَمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I am the most rightful claim it to Isa, and Ibn Maryam, in this life and in the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-anbiya'u ikhwatun li'allad. Al-anbiya'u ikhwatun li'allad. Ummahatuhum shatta wa dinuhum wahid. Ummahatuhum shatta wa dinuhum wahid." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the prophets, all of the prophets, they are ikhwatun, brothers, li'allad. They're brothers to Allat. The Allat is the plural Allah. This is the name of a woman who has the name of brothers. They have different mothers from the same father. The Allat, the prophets, they are all brothers with different mothers, but their religion is one. And Ummahatuhum shatta wa dinuhum wahid. This is the example that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. And he like this. Like, for example, there's a group of brothers. They're all brothers from the same father with different mothers. They're all brothers related, how? By the father. As for their mothers, they're different mothers, but they're all tied from the father. This is the example the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made with all of the anbiya. But he said, "Ummahatuhum shatta," their mothers are different, "wa dinuhum wahid," and their religion is one. And their religion is one. And Ibn Hajar, he mentioned that what is referring here is that the shara'i, the legislations that they had were different. The halal and the haram that they had were different. And as the revelation came to the previous nations, there were some things that were revealed to previous nations that were permissible that were not permissible later, or that were impermissible and then made permissible later. Like this, there are some things in the Sharia of Musa that were impermissible for Bani Israel, they're permissible for us. They're permissible for us. And before that likewise, there were the legislation was changing according to the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal and to the time and to the people until the revelation and the Sharia was completed with the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلِكُلٍّ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned that all of the prophets we have made for them شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. In the Sharia, وَسُنَّةً وَالسَّبِيلَ. A sunnah وَالسَّبِيلَ, a way and a methodology. But as for the aqidah and the usul al-iman, it's all the same. دِينُهُمْ واحد, أي التوحيد. وأصول الإيمان الستة كلها يعني موجودة في الأديان السابقة أو الشرائع السابقة. The أصول of إيمان, the إيمان in Allah and the angels and the books and the last day, all of this was present in the previous legislations of Musa and the likes. What they differed in, يعني أمهاتهم شتى, was in the legislation of حلال and حرام, permissible and impermissible. As for the fundamentals of the deen, then all of them were Muslims, and all of them they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal in the last day. And they, all of them they believe in the angels, likewise in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Deenu ummahatuhum shatta wa deenuhum wahid. Wa deenuhum wahid. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the nearest to Isa alayhi salam in time. In time, he's the last prophet. Before he's the nearest prophet to Isa, and he was also the last one after him. And plus Isa alayhi salam, he mentioned and gave glad tidings in the Injil, as in the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal, of the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the point is that al-Hanifiyyah is the deen of all of the prophets, and it is al-Islam. Al-Islam bima'nahu al-am, the general understanding of al-Islam. And the author, he will mention that meaning and that definition of al-Islam in al-Usul al-Thalatha, and it will come insha'Allah. But I mentioned just so that we see that all of the religion of the prophets previously, it was this definition the author he will mention insha'Allah. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'ah wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. This is the Islam of all of the prophets, to submit and to surrender to Allah with monotheism, to worship Him alone, and to comply to His commandments. Naam, to what is Islam, وَلِلَّهِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَالْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ, to comply to His commandments in obedience, and to leave off and free oneself from shirk and its people. And this is the Islam of Adam, and this is the Islam of Nuh alayhi salam, all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for the specific meaning about Islam, it is what is referred to after the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is what he has brought sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the general meaning, which encompassed all of the legislations of the previous prophet, but the specific meaning of it, of al-Islam, is the legislation that was completed with the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Hanifiyyah. Al-Hanifiyyah, millat Ibrahim, and ta'bud Allah wahdahu mukhlisa lahu ad-din. This is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he freed himself from shirk, and he also was upon tawheed. And there are many various verses that Allah has freed him from shirk. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned about Ibrahim, and he was not from the polytheist, and he was never from the polytheist. And Allah Azza wa Jalla freed him from the deen of the Jews and the Christians likewise. He said that he was not a Jew nor was he a Christian. Rather, he was a Muslim. وَكَانَ حَنِيفًا كَانَ حَنِيفًا أي مُوَحِدًا مُقْبِرًا عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى devoted to Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. وَكَانَ أُمَّةً خَانِتًا and he was an imam. And this is the religion of Ibrahim and all of the prophets. And this is the religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Ikhlas. Tawheed al-Khalis. At-tawheed al-Khalis. Pure and sincere monotheism. Worshipping Allah alone with no partners. Naam. وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ وَخَلَقَهُمْ لَهَا. And with this, Allah has commanded all of the people. And we've seen the proof for that was the first commandment in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ نعم اعبدوا ربكم. Allah has commanded all of the people to worship Him, just like the author he meant. وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ. Rather, in the very first commandment, in the very first amr in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَمَرَ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ قَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. So this is very direct to the point. The author, Jazallahu Khaira, clarifying this issue that this is the first thing that Allah has commanded all of the people. And rather, this is the first commandment in the book of Allah. وَخَلَقَهُمْ لَهَا and He created them for this purpose. And the proof here, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ and I did not create the jinn or the mankind except to worship Me. The author, he clarifies the meaning of يَعْبُدُونَ يُوَحِدُونَ to worship Me, meaning to single Me out alone in worship. نعم, to single Me out alone in worship. He is defining the word, the meaning يَعْبُدُونَ to mean يُوَحِدُونَ. We've seen likewise that this was the understanding of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that whenever it is mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, u'budullah, or ibadah is mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is referring to is at-tawheed. U'budullah ay wahidullah. Anytime the mention of ibadah comes in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is referring to is tawheed. Because there's no ibadah without tawheed. There's no ibadah without tawheed. Anything that somebody considers to be an act of worship, but it is not done with tawheed, it is not ibadah. It is not ibadah. It's not ibadah. It's rejected. Just like salat is not considered salat except with tahara. If somebody who prayed without tahara, we would say he does not have salat. Just like that, in that same understanding, anybody who worship Allah Azza wa Jal without tawheed, we say he didn't worship Allah Azza wa Jal. He didn't worship Allah Azza wa Jal. They're not upon ibadah. It's not ibadah. نعم لكم لا أعبدوا ما تعبدون. They used to worship Allah and somebody else, and Allah commanded the Prophet to say, "Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I do not worship what you worship." How? Because they don't worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. In reality, they don't have worship. They don't have ibadah because they don't have tawheed. So their actions are not considered ibadah. Their actions are not considered ibadah. It's all invalidated. It's all invalidated. طيب, in our previous class, we stopped in this portion here. وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَهُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ وَهُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ. The author, he says, the greatest thing that Allah has commanded is tawheed. This is very important to understand. The greatest thing. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has commanded many things. He has commanded many things. From them, He has commanded salat and zakat. And He has commanded hajj. And He has commanded being righteous to the parents. And He has commanded keeping the ties of the relatives. And He has many commandments, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the greatest of all those commandments, rather the foundation of all of those commandments, is the commandment of at-tawheed, to worship Him alone with no partners. And the author, he clarifies that at-tawheed huwa ifradullahi bil-ibadah. This definition of tawheed, which definition is this? إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ, to single out Allah alone in worship. تَوْحِيد الْعِبَادَةِ, which is the maqsood of the sending of the messengers and the creation of the heavens and the earth. So we see that tawheed, likewise, it has a general definition and a specific definition. But what is intended here is the specific definition. And likewise, even in the tawheed of uluhiyya, the ulama, they mention that the relationship between the three types of tawheed, their relationship, either they're included in one part is included in the other, or one part necessitates the other. For example, tawheed al-rububiyya necessitates tawheed al-uluhiyya, the one who witnesses and testifies to the lordship and that of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that He alone is the creator and sustainer and provider of the heavens and the earth. This necessitates that he worship Him alone. So Tawheed al-Rububiyyah necessitates Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. So that means that Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah consists of a Rububiyyah. Somebody is only, he will only single out Allah alone and worship Him alone because of His Rububiyyah. He knows, and the Rububiyyah is the door to Uluhiyyah. So the fact that he is performing and singling out Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, the fact that he afrad Allah bi-ibadah, this is because the Rububiyyah is there. His belief and his creed and the understanding of the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla is present. And this is why he's able to worship Him alone. So this is included there. Likewise, the Asma' wa Sifat, it includes both of them. It includes both of them. Why is Allah Azza wa Jalla worthy of worship? Because He has the most beautiful names and attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever in any of His names or attributes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla in this type of Tawheed, it is included. It includes al-Rububiyyah wal-Asma'i, al-Rububiyyah wal-Uluhiyyah. So by defining here this definition, and it is the maqsood and the intent, and this is the point of issue that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with his people. It was not with Rububiyyah and the likes, but it was with Al-Uluhiyyah. And likewise the previous nations. So the author, he defined it for this meaning. For this meaning. And huwa ifradu Allahi bil-ibadah. But in reality, it also included in there is Tawheedah in that meaning. And Uluhiyyah is included likewise. Understood the Rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is why he deified him, and this is why he loves him, and he worship him alone, and he calls on him alone because of his lordship, and because of his beautiful names and perfect attributes of perfection, Subhanahu wa Taala. Even from the meaning of the word Allah, the meaning of the word Allah has been defined by Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah that it means ذُو الْأُلُوهِيَةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ ذُو الْأُلُوهِيَةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ, meaning he is the one who possesses the uluhiyah and the divinity, the attributes of perfection and the beautiful names. No deficiency does he have whatsoever, requiring him to be worshipped, yani the ubudiyah and the servitude from all of the creation, from all of the creation, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he mentioned after that the greatest prohibition is shirk. And we've seen the issue with this. We stopped with the dalil. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and worship Allah alone and do not associate partners with Him. The author, he used this verse right here as the proof that the greatest thing Allah has commanded is tawheed, and the greatest thing He has prohibited is shirk. Who can mention and identify the point of evidence with regards to this? How is this verse a proof for that? We can say definitely it's clear. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, Allah commanded to worship Him. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْءٍ, and this verse, and Allah prohibited from making shirk with Him. But the issue is not, did Allah command, the proof that Allah commanded tawheed and prohibited shirk. The proof here and that we want to identify is that Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning, or this verse is a proof that the greatest thing that He commanded is tawheed, and the greatest thing that He prohibited is shirk. Tartib. Sent. Sahih. Who can shed some light on that too? Likewise, he mentioned because of the order, starting in order. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. These little points right here, we keep reviewing them. These are the ones that we want to memorize. We don't want to forget. If we understand just points, maybe the daras has lots of benefit or benefits from the statements of the ulama, but then there's points that we want to keep that don't get past us, like this one. How is this a proof?
So are you asking for a proof within this ayat that's a proof, or a separate ayat that's a proof?
Right now we want to see the author. He says that the greatest thing Allah has commanded is tawheed. And he said, rahimahullah, and the greatest thing Allah has, this is a mas'ala. As we know the methodology of the author, mas'ala wa daliluha. So this mas'ala here is the mas'ala of the issue of the greatest thing that Allah command many things. The greatest of those commandments is at Tawheed. And the greatest of the prohibitions is the prohibition of shirk. This is what he's telling us here, and the proof for that is this verse. How is that verse a proof for that issue? And precisely. We discussed in the last class. Remember that some of the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal, they have names. Some of the verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the ulama, they know them by names. Ahsant. We remember now, huh? Alhamdulillah. Ayat al-Hukuk. Huh? Al-Ashra. The 10 rights. This is this verse right here that he's referring to is the beginning of a verse known to the scholars as the verse of the 10 rights. The verse of the 10 rights. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in this verse 10 rights. As the brother mentioned, Abu Muhammad, he mentioned that there is an arrangement here, beginning with the right of Allah Azza wa Jal first, and then after that, the right of the parents, and then after that, the neighbors, and so on and so forth, until the end of those 10 rights. وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَبِنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. This is all of the 10 rights right here. The point here, the author wants to clarify that this verse is a proof here from this aspect, because this verse here in its entirety is known as the verse of the 10 rights. Allah Azza wa Jal, He began these 10 rights with His right. So to begin with that is an indication that it's the greatest. So you begin with that, the greatest right. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He began with the greatest right, which is His right. وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. After that, and then also, be kind to your parents. And after that, and after that, and after that, until the end of the 10 rights. So we see that the greatest thing that He has commanded from all of these rights is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is to worship Him alone with no partners. Everybody understand that?
No.
Who can repeat it? This verse here is a proof that the greatest thing Allah commanded is Tawheed. Because maybe so, if we memorize these texts like this, this is a very short text. Look, it's very short right here. Huh? إِعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهِ. Huh? لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم تعبد الله مخلصا له الدين وبذلك أمر الله جميع الناس وخلقهم لها كما قال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ها وما يعبدون ليوحدون وأعظم ما أمر الله به التوحيد وهو إفراد الله بالعبادة وأعظم ما نهى عنه الشرك وهو دعوة غيره معه والدليل قوله تعالى. This, we memorize this, you learn this, this is an asl everywhere you go, and it's very beneficial for yourself and for your family, and also for calling other people. You want to help Muslims, what are you going to tell them? You want to call them to Tawheed first and foremost. You use this right here as the base, it's the asl for you. When you talk, you remember this, when you start talking to him about Tawheed, you remember this right here. This is the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And al-hanifiyyah means to leave off shirk entirely. Well, Ibrahim kana qanitan lillah, he was devoted to Allah, he was an ummah. Why? Because of this right here, that he worshiped Allah alone with no partners. He worshiped Allah alone with no partners. And you can remember the methodology of the author. And تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Just like Allah said, وَمَا عُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And all of this is related here. He summarized it for us. So remember this and understand this. Then it will help us whenever we call. First, it will help ourselves. Our heart will be firm. Our heart, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, will have tawheed deeply rooted in the heart and solid. And then after that, you can clarify for your family. You can teach your child. You can teach your wife. You can teach your brother or your father or your mother. You can teach your neighbor. You can teach the colleague. You can clarify at work. So what do you guys believe in? We believe in the deen of Ibrahim. You know about Abraham? Yeah, we believe in his deen. Well, what is that? Well, you tell him to worship Allah alone sincerely with no partners. And then you go on like this, and you clarify. وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ. And the point is, we learn these little bitty texts like this and understand them. Understand them, and there will be a foundation for you. A foundation for you. And a foundation for you strong. Now, وَدَلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence for that, and the issue here, that the greatest thing Allah commanded is tawheed, and the greatest thing He prohibited is shirk. And this verse here is the proof. Why? وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Why? Because this verse is the verse known as the verse of the 10 rights. And Allah began with His right. indicating that it's the greatest right. If we couple this verse with the understanding of a hadith also, there's a hadith that Allah mentioned, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned his rights, the rights of Allah azza wa jalla in it. If we couple this understanding with that hadith, what is that hadith? Which hadith is that? The hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Mu'adh, atadri ma haqqullahi ala al-ibad, wa haqqul ibadi ala Allah. O Mu'adh, do you know the right of Allah upon the servants, and the right of the servants upon Allah? And he said, Allah and His Messenger know better, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he say? The right of Allah, and ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay'a. And ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay'a. It's almost exactly mutabaqa. And ya'buduha, ya'budullaha, wala yushriku bihi shay'a. And not associate any parties with him. That's the right of Allah. That hadith clarifies that the right of Allah azza wa jalla is to worship him alone and not associate parties with him. And this is very direct in the clarification of the verse of the 10 rights. The first right is to worship Allah alone and not associate any partners with him. So then from this aspect here, we see that the greatest right is the right of Allah azza wa jalla. And he began with it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is to worship Allah alone with no partners. To worship Allah alone with no partners. So then very correctly what the author mentioned, no doubt that this is the greatest thing that Allah has commanded. We basically stopped right here yesterday, and then we were discussing, and muraja'ah is mufid. We go over, we don't want to just go through the book and finish, and go through another book and finish, and go through another book and finish, everybody doing the same thing. La, we want to learn, understand, comprehend, apply it, draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal with this understanding, to worship Allah alone with no partners. Naam. So there's other proofs in the Quran. There's the author, he mentioned a direct proof right here, that the greatest thing Allah commanded is Tawheed. We want to think of another proof, additional. And they, what do they say? Supportive evidence. Additional evidence on top of this one. There's many proofs that the greatest thing Allah commanded is Tawheed. Even we mentioned some of them. This one is right too. Sah. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. And your Lord has decreed that you should not worship anyone except for Him. Sah. This is a proof that the greatest thing Allah commanded is Tawheed. How? مَا وَجْهُ الْإِسْتِلَالِ. What is that? How is that a proof? This verse in Surah Isra. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. We have to understand the context. Just like this verse right here, if we just look at it like that, maybe we don't understand how that is a proof for that issue, that the greatest thing He commanded. Allah, He says, and your Lord has decreed that you should not worship anyone except for Him. This verse is a proof that the greatest thing Allah commanded is Tawheed. That's right. Even this verse right here, and the verse before it, and the verse at the end of this context, this is a proof for this whole subject here. And that is that the greatest thing that Allah has prohibited is shirk. Because He began those verses, He said, لَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا. And then He said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And then he mentioned the rights, many, many commandments and prohibitions. And prohibitions from wasting wealth, prohibition from taking the wealth of the orphan, prohibition from being extravagant, prohibition from being arrogant. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And mentioned many, many, many different prohibitions, and 17 of them approximately. 17 or 18 prohibitions, all one after another in this context. And then beginning with the prohibition of shirk and the commandment for tawheed, and then all of these prohibitions and commandments likewise, and then ending again with the prohibition of shirk. And he said, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ فَتُلْقَى فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَلُومًا مَخْذُولًا مَلُومًا مَدْحُورًا. And do not associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla, or you'll be cast in the hellfire, blameworthy and lowly. And he abandoned. So from understanding the context, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He began this verse with the prohibition of shirk and the command for tawheed, and then all of these other commandments and prohibitions, and then closing again, emphasizing the prohibition of shirk. This is all indication that from all of these commandments and prohibitions, the greatest one is the commandment of التوحيد and the prohibition of shirk, because he began with it and closed with it. In between it are the other ones. نعم. So this ascent. There's another proof. This is a sign, this is a proof for the greatest thing that he prohibited shirk, naam, and the most dangerous. Likewise, in Allah la yaghfiru ay yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. That Allah, he does not forgive that shirk be associated, partners be associated with him in worship. And this is with regards to shirk, but he forgives lesser than that to whom he wills. And this is indication of the danger of shirk and the great prohibition. Everything else is under that. So this is the greatest thing he prohibited, no doubt. Huh? All of the commandments, all of the messengers. So, well, this is also a proof. All of the messengers, they were sent with the same thing, tawheed. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. Now, this could be used in there. And this is the deen, this is all of the messengers, this is showing us the importance of tawheed. All the messengers that came with tawheed. Huh? No deeds are accepted except with tawheed. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. نعم, أَلَا لِلَّهِ دِينُ الْخَالِصِ. Naam, but we want the proof that the greatest thing he commanded. There's one that's going right past us, but it's right there in front of us. Huh? Yeah, that's clarifying the reason from the purpose of the creation and the jinn and the ins. Sah. Yeah, that's the purpose of their creation. What's the first commandment in the Book of Allah? Ayah. So if we ponder over the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we think, what is the very first thing he commanded?
Oh, yeah.
He commanded Tawheed. So the same as before. Yani this proof right here, likewise, is a clarification. The greatest thing he commanded. It's the first thing he mentioned in his book. Before he mentioned the commandment of anything else. Before the very first command, yani the first command. If we look at verbs are past tense and present tense and command. Tense. So the very first command, verb, is this verb. Huh? To worship Allah alone. And the very first commandment of Allah Azza wa Jalla is this commandment, to worship Allah alone. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. So this is a clarification likewise, could be used as a proof that the greatest thing he commanded, this is the first thing. The first thing he commanded, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also the first thing he prohibited, وَلَا تَجْعَوْ لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Also another indication, the very first prohibition. The very first prohibition. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لَا أَنَاهِيَ. The la of prohibition, the first prohibition in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the prohibition of shirk. All of this is an indication that this is the greatest thing. And just as this verse, the 10 rites began with tawheed, just like the verses in Isra began with tawheed, rather the whole book began with tawheed. The whole book, the commandments. How did Allah begin the commandments? And even if we ponder over the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's very amazing how Baqarah starts. It's giving an explanation of attributes of righteous people, and then giving attributes, explanation of attributes of the disbelievers, and then giving attributes of the hypocrites. And then after mentioning these three categories of people, he called all mankind. Oh man, ya ayyuhan nas. Ya Yuhannas, ubudu rabbakum. Yani the kafir, the believer, the hypocrite, all of you, worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And beginning with that commandment. Beginning with that commandment. So this is all an indication that the greatest thing that Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded is at-tawheed. The greatest thing that He has commanded is at-tawheed. And the greatest thing that He has prohibited, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a shirk. Naam. This is clear. It's good. The author, he says after this, Rahimahullah, فَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ مَا الْأُصُولُ ثَلَاثَةُ أَلَّتِي يَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ مَعْرِفَتُهَا فَقُلْ مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ وَدِينَهُ وَنَبِيَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So now he says, if it's said to you, and if somebody asked you, what are the three fundamental principles that it's obligatory upon every individual to know? If it's mentioned to you, if somebody says to you, what are the three fundamental principles that it's obligatory upon every individual to know? Then what should you say? He says, فَقُلْ you say, مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ. That the servant, the individual, he must know his Lord. ربه أي معبودة. The الرب هو المعبود. The رب, he is the one who deserves to be worshipped. The Lord, he is the one who is worshipped. عبدوا ربكم. Worship your Lord. So this is what he's referring to. معرفة العبد ربه, the one who he worships, his Lord, who created him and provides for him, to know him. And also that the servant knows his deen. And also he knows his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see now the author, he's preparing to begin now into the Al-Usul al-Thalatha. And here he is mentioning here in the question and answer form. And this is very beneficial in learning and also in teaching. And that even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many times he would ask questions and then answer the Sahaba. Even the one of the most famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we all know, Hadith Jibreel, it came in the form of a question and answer. And this hadith is known as Umm al-Sunnah. Just like the Fatiha is known as Umm al-Kitab or Umm al-Quran, this Hadith Jibreel is known as Umm al-Sunnah. And the foundation of the Sunnah. And all of the affairs of the Sunnah return back to this hadith. Just like all of the meanings of the Quran return back to al-Fatiha. How did this hadith come? Su'al wal-Jawab. Question and answer. Question and answer. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many narrations, he would ask them, do you know what are the seven major sins are? Or the seven destructive sins are? He would ask them questions, do you know about this? And like that, and then he would inform them and tell them. So sometimes this is a good manner in teaching, or from the good methodologies of teaching, rather from the prophetic methodologies of teaching, is to use this question and answer. And it's really beneficial with the children likewise, and even with the adults. Also, there is an indication here, إشارة لطيفة في هذا الأسلوب هنا. It's a subtle indication for something here. The author, he is using this أسلوب, question and answer, in this particular مسألة here. Before we're not talking about questions and answers, صح? Now he's talking about أصول ثلاثة, and he's coming with question and answer. We want to ponder over the text. It's very suitable to start now with question and answer. If it's said to you, what are the three fundamental principles every Muslim, every person must know? Then you say he must know his Lord and his Deen and his Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three things. What do we know about these three things? Asked, that's the word. We'll be asked about them. We'll be asked about them. When? In the grave. There's going to be question. There's going to be question and answer. Huh? Where? In the grave. There's going to be question and answer. So if it's said to you, what are you supposed to say? Huh? My Lord is Allah. Huh? My Lord is Allah. My deen is Islam. My Prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is an indication to those, and it's a hint here that there's going to be a question about this. If it's said to you, and it's going to be said to you. If it's said to you, who is your Lord? What are the four, are these three principles that you have to know? Say these issues here. Likewise, the author, he's mentioning or using a methodology. The ulama, they mention something general, and then after that they mention one in great detail. So here it's in general. And then after this, the actual recital begins, and he mentions each issue in detail. And the understanding of the Rabb. Who is the Rabb? What is the Deen of Islam? Who is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So right now we hear that these three principles, there are marifatu al-abdi rabbah, wa deena wa nabiyahu Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we're saying, okay, we learned this, and we hear this, and in general, what is the reality? What does it mean to know? What does it mean? Who is Allah? How do I know Him? Who is He? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about the Deen of Islam? What is that really? Now, what is the reality of that? Somebody, he hears this now. Okay, this is very obligatory for every person to know. Now he starts wanting to know. Who is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was his father's name? Where was he born? Where was he from? When did he die? Huh? Where did he die? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So whenever you hear it like this, these things, now you start wanting to know more. This is from the methodology of the ulama. Whenever they mention something in brief or in general, and then after that, this draws the attention of the listener to want to know the details. And then after that, he explained. After that, they explain. Now, so the author is clarifying here, rahimahullah ta'ala, in this question and answer, that the three fundamental principles that it's obligatory for every individual to know is that he must know who his Lord is, who his Rabb is, and he must know what his deen is and his religion, the way that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his pleasure. And he must know who his Prophet is, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَقُلْ مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ وَدِينَهُ وَنَبِيَّهُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مَعْرِفَةُ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ مَا إِرَابُ رَبَّهُ. What's the إِرَاب of the word رَبَّهُ؟ رَبَّهُ. صحيح لكن مفعول به منسوب وعلامة نسبه الفتحة ظاهرة على آخره صح وهو مضاف. أحسنت ما شاء الله. كيف يكون مفعول به؟ He's right. There has to be something to make it a maf'ulun bihi. Huh? Al-fi'l, ayna?
No.
Uh-huh. هذا هو. Uh-huh. هنا المصدر. المصدر المضاف. معرفة العبد ربه. المصدر من الأسماء التي تعمل عمل الفعل. فهو على معرفة العبد معرفة مضاف إلى فاعله. والمعنى معرفة العبد ربه أي فقول أن يعرف العبد ربه. أن يعرف العبد ربه. That's the meaning. أن يعرف العبد ربه. لأن المصدر يكون صريحا ويكون مؤولا. فالمصدر المؤول يقوم هذا المقام. أن يعرف العبد ربه. That's the meaning. أن يعرف العبد ربه ودينه ونبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول به حسنتم. طيب معرفة وس ما إرابه؟ We don't have enough time to continue into the next part, so pop quiz. فقل معرفة العبد ربه. والخبر
يجب معرفة معرفة
ممكن أراه خبرا فقل يعني يقول لك إذا قيل لك ما الأصول الثلاثة التي يجب على الإنسان معرفتها فقل هي معرفة العبد ربه ودينه ونبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. هي فيكون معرفة خبر لمبتدأ محذوف تقديره هي. نعم وهي تعود على يعود على الأصول الثلاثة. والله أعلم. والله معرفة العبد ربه ودينه ونبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم to know your Lord, to know your Lord, to know Allah عز وجل يعني from his names and from his attributes and from his lordship and from his dominion and his authority and from his mercy likewise, and to know him from his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know him also from his legislation. And this is an obligation to know Allah azza wa jalla, and this is the greatest of all obligations. This is the reason why we were created, to know Allah azza wa jalla and to worship him, to know him by his names and attributes, and to know him by his worship, and to know him by his kindness subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma'rifatullah azza wa jal aslu al-usul, aslu al-usul, And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in His book, كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ رُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Everything after from the Iman, from the Usul al-Iman, they all refer back. And to believe, and all of them believe in Allah and His angels and His messengers. And if this, so to believe in Allah takes precedence, and it's first, the belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla first and foremost. This is the asl and the foundation of all the pillars of Iman. And after that, believing in His angels and believing in His messengers and believing in His books, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the belief in all of the other pillars of Al-Iman is following behind this great principle, the belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. The belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. What is it? Who can summarize the belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla briefly? What does it mean? Al-Imanu Billah. Summarized version. Al-Imanu Billah. What does it mean? To believe in Allah. What do we believe about it?
To not know about His name and His attributes.
Uh-huh.
To know His prohibition and His commandment.
Right to be worshipped.
Right to be worshipped alone.
Sah. So we can summarize? To summarize?
Summarize. Worship Allah alone.
Al-Imanu Bi. بتوحيده يعني بأنواعه ثلاثة الإيمان بربوبيته سبحانه وتعالى بوحدانيته في ربوبيته وأسمائه وصفاته وفي ألوهيته وعبادته سبحانه وتعالى. That to summarize it, that's the mean to believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla, who believes in His oneness and His lordship, and also in His names and His attributes, and also in His right to be worshipped alone with no partner سبحانه وتعالى. الإيمان بوحدانيته يعني بوجوده وبربوبيته وألوهيته وأسمائه وصفات. To believe in His Lordship and that He is the Creator and the Owner and Disposer of the heavens and the earth, and to believe in all of His beautiful names and attributes, and that He is one in all of these affairs, He has no partners in them whatsoever, and that He is the only one worthy of worship, سبحانه وتعالى. If we look at existence, we see that there are two types of existence. There is the existence of the يعني الوجود نوعان, وجود الخالق ووجود المخلوق. Now there's the وجود, the existence of the creator and the existence of the creation. The existence of the creation, all of creation has a beginning and an end. As for وجود الله عز وجل, هو موجود بلا ابتداء. ووجود بلا انتهاء سبحانه وتعالى. His existence has no beginning, neither does it have an end. And He is in no need of nothing سبحانه وتعالى. هو الأول ليس قابله شيء. He's the first. There's nothing before Him. His existence, He's always been in existence. He does not have a beginning. He does not have a beginning. This is indication how great and powerful He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is alive and He never dies. He has no beginning. Everything else in creation, it has a beginning. Everything else, it has a beginning. As for Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has no beginning, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no beginning, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, everything else in creation, every other existence, it has an ending likewise, an ending. Except for Allah Azza wa Jalla, He doesn't have an ending, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else also in the existence, besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's a need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for its existence and for its life. Naam? And for its life and for its existence. As for Allah Azza wa Jalla, He does not need anything. As-Samad subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who does not need anything, yet all things need Him. This is from the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. From the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, to believe that He is alive and He has no beginning. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His life is self-sustaining and He does not need anything whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not get tired nor sleepy, and He does not need food, or He does not need worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He does not have an end, or He never dies. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. As for His creation, then it has an end and a beginning, and it has A need for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three issues here, to know your Lord and to know your deen and to know your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, What is the relationship with these in the first introduction? What is the relationship?
It was in the first introduction.
Sahih. So what do we benefit now from that?
Those are the three things that will be asked in the group.
Mm-hmm. If you know them, you will be? If you know them and you apply them, you will be? You'll be a winner. You will be successful. If you don't know them and you don't apply them, you will be
a loser.
A loser. Make it or break it. Huh? The question. Another question. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.